All right, Ask the Mayor in Bloomington with John Hamilton. Thank you very much for having us today.
Good to see you again, Joe.
So we had to start with what was decades in the making, but we finally get to see the new Switchyard Park. It officially opened Saturday, but there's still a lot to go to get done there. Tell us a little bit about how everything went Saturday and the reaction from everyone there.
Well, thank you. It was a great weekend. As you said, we actually have had four mayors involved in this and those administrations going back a quarter of a century. So we got to gathered hundreds of people on Saturday evening at the new pavilion to kind of kick it off officially and cut a ribbon and have a little music and actually some fireworks, which was fun that night. And that was the night to have the formal ceremony and celebration, which was great. You know, acknowledging how many people it takes to make a project like that happen. And then Sunday was the 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. kind of 4-hour period when we said, come on down and check out Switchyard Park. And we had bands and we had lots of programming going on. And I learned to play pickleball, which I'd never played before. My wife got to beat me at bocce, which, you know, she's a tough player at that. So activating the whole park, there were kids climbing all over the playgrounds, and there's still work to be done to finish the park. There's a lot of grass that needs to go down that's just weather dependent, and some more plantings that will happen. So the spring will be a new kind of greening of that park. You know, I tell you this, we weren't going to keep the skateboarders off of that park all winter. There must have been 40 of them just zooming around through that place. So we wanted to open the park for the public to use from this day forward.
So what, you know, we talk about, you know, decades and how many mayors, what goes into all this? Is it pretty much getting the funding locked down to be able to do a project this huge?
Well, it's interesting. For example, Tommy Allison, the first mayor, her first step was imagining that railroad might close. She negotiated a right of first refusal to be able to buy it, so that if they were going to sell it, the city got a right to match any offer. So she did that back in the early 90s, I think. And then 12 years later after that, the railroad said, we are going to close this line. John Fernandez was mayor. He got in the position to get state grants, other funding to start to do the purchasing, for example, of the B-line track and some other facilities. And then Mark Cruzan as mayor was the one who actually built the B-line. That was during the American Recovery Act. We got federal grant money to build the B-line and to complete the purchasing and then to do the planning for the park. And as last year as mayor, the city council passed a big bond issue to fund the development of the park. When I came in, my job was look at the plans, review them, overhaul them, make 1,000 decisions about what we ought to do. And we now, you know, last weekend in mid-November, we opened this beautiful new park that's going to be just a jewel for the city for generations.
And then moving forward now, how does the Parks Department staff all this? Because this is how many acres?
About 60.
60 acres and about 30, was it 30 million?
34 million.
34 million. Mm-hmm. So, but now this is, you're almost, doubling maybe what you already have.
We went from a $50 million assets for our parks to about $84 million. So that's a big change and growth. We will have new staff there. There's a full-time manager of the park who will be there. We have several other staff who come in and out. And it's also, frankly, it's a work in progress, right? We're going to see what people use, where we need to be. There's a lot of performance venues, you know, a 5,000-seat amphitheater that we hope to see used by lots of different entities. There's a great place for weddings and for outings that you might have both indoor, outdoor. There's dog parks will be open in the spring. They need the turf to be done before that. So staffing will kind of grow. Folks should know too, there's the first ever police substation. So we've got the first ever new police outpost, if you will, that's at the very northern end of the park. And that'll have our downtown resource officers and neighborhood resource specialists posted there, and community room for people to use for meetings. So it's going to be an active park. I will tell you this. On Sunday, we did a point in time count each hour. At 2 o'clock, there were 820 people in the park. That was a big number. It was exciting to see so many people enjoying the park.
The city is also looking for a developer for some mixed use at what would be the Walnut Street entrance.
Correct.
That part isn't open yet, I don't think. So what are you looking for there? And that's the side of where Night Moves is right
now.
That's
right.
Yeah.
That's right. It is a pedestrian entrance from the Walnut Street side, kind of across from South High School. And you're right. We purchased a couple years ago not only that entrance property, but some property next to it, which we've just put out a request for information to say who can help us develop what we think we'll probably want to see is some mixed housing, some market rate housing and some affordable housing. When you have a great park like this, my view is you want people living around it. There are people living around it now, but there's room for more affordability and more options for people. And over the next years, even decades, I expect we'll see some more people saying, I'd like to live next to that park. That'd be a great backyard to have.
And could you see some maybe retail there too, ground floor maybe, and then parking? How would all that mix into that park?
So there, I don't know if I know the exact number. There's many hundreds of parking spaces, maybe 500, 400 parking spaces that will be in the park proper. And then for larger events, people have access to the high school and other places nearby. But we do expect in this park to see development happen around it. It's a great asset for the community. It's so exciting. I welcome everyone to come down there. It's formally open from 5 a.m. to 11 p.m. Please get out and enjoy it.
All right, let's get some updates on some other items as well. I saw a report in the HT. The state Supreme Court now will hear the annexation suit, but that's in January. City, of course, saying state overreached, halted a plan for the city to annex that about, 10,000 acres. Mm-hmm. Now, the city won the initial decision, so this is the state appealing this. What does the city have to do now in January?
Right, so when we won at the trial court level, because the trial court said the state violated the Constitution, the legislature and the governor, they can take it straight to the Indiana Supreme Court. We've done the briefings. All this is oral argument. So we're both going to stand up in front of the Supreme Court and we're going to say the trial court got it right and that was an illegal intrusion into city activities with a special legislation. So we'll probably find out, I expect, in some months after that oral argument what the Supreme Court will do.
Also, 4th Street Garage, the eminent domain lawsuit, anything new on that? You're still waiting, right?
Still waiting on the court to tell us that decision, too. They have all the information in front of them, and we're just waiting for the court to tell us. Again, in that situation, we feel it's the law is pretty clear on our side that this is a public purpose, and when we have a public purpose, we have to give fair compensation to someone whose property is part of that, and that's what we look forward to doing.
And there have been no new wrinkles or developments from the Juan Sells property.
Nope, it's
been the same.
The court.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you might notice the garage is gone now.
Yes.
That's one development. Yeah. We're ready to start the new one.
So are they actually, they're not starting constructing the new garage.
No,
they're just getting
they're just
rid of what's there.
They're just excavating.
And then construction will halt until the decision is made.
Yeah.
Convention center meeting. There was a possible date of this Thursday. Is that still on?
It is.
Do you have any
happen.
Details on that?
Yep. There'll be another meeting of the whole group of elected officials, about 20 of us, to talk about the next steps for the convention center. We're not quite where I hope we can be in terms of making a decision about how to move forward. I'm itching to go. I think the community is ready and we're ready, and we just need to work out some details on the site plan and on any governance issues. And those are things that I think we can negotiate through. My main urging at this point is while we're negotiating the governance issues, we can also continue to do the planning. I was just talking to a person the other day who's in this business and said, places are booking their 2023 locations now. That's when we could be ready if we start building right now. So we need to make the decision so we can start to book the conferences that want to come here.
Is there a time or a place for that meeting on Thursday?
Yes, Thursday it'll be in City Hall in the council chambers.
Oh, okay.
At 6 p.m.
And is that open to the public?
Open to the public, absolutely.
Like you said, I mean, there's still a lot up in the air. There's the big thing is this formation of the CIB. Mm-hmm. And is that what this meeting is looking to do right now, is taking steps to move forward, or is it more information gathering?
Well, I think it's very difficult for 20 elected officials from city council, county commissioners, and mayor all to come together and make decisions. It's a pretty unwieldy group. It's hard to actually get us all together in one time and place. I think this group, the county felt that this group meeting was important to receive some information, and I hope we can move forward with the steering committee, which was a very effective 9-group, part electeds, part private citizens who helped oversee the process so far. My hope is that this will kind of be the last meeting of the 20 And let's get back to what worked well. And then any big decisions go back to the appropriate body. If it's an appropriation, it goes to the entity with the money, city council, county commissioners. If it's a sale of land, all those formal things have to happen in the public bodies anyway. But I'm a little frustrated. It's been 6 months since we had a site plan recommended to all of us, and I think it's time to move forward with that.
It's an
exciting opportunity. We now know what we can do and where we can do it, and that we have the funding to do it, which was an important thing we've learned over the last few months.
I want to get more information on this initiative from the Ohio State University. It's called the Bridge Initiative. It's regarding the mediation on the farmers market issue. I think we all know the issues at the farmers market, but even as much as two weeks ago, we had 5 citations for some disruption. So it sounds like that you're really hoping that this will help get to more of the root of the issues that's happening at the farmers market?
Yeah, let me make a couple comments about that. You know, the farmers market has been a treasure in the city for 45 years, and this summer we've been working to try to make sure it continues to operate successfully. Sometimes people get, it can be confusing what's happening. One of the things as a city is I have to make sure I treat all the patrons of the market evenly. We have a rule in the market that we've had for quite a while that says you can't do political activity or leafleting or demonstrating in the market proper, where the sales of the vendors happen. And we've had to enforce that, as you mentioned a couple weeks ago. We enforce that against anybody, no matter what their persuasion is. It doesn't matter what you believe. If you can't come and present a placard for a political candidate or a political cause or anything else. So that people have chosen to try to test that rule, and we do implement that rule in the market to protect safety for everybody. Political activity can happen right outside the market, and there's plenty of room for that, and anybody can do that. The bigger issue, I think, underlying, which is what the Bridges Initiative is after, is trying to continue to wrestle with the racial history of our city and what stresses we have today, making sure we are as an inclusive city as we can be and should be. And we've asked some folks who've got some national expertise, frankly, in dealing with situations in communities where racial hostility has erupted or where there's racial concerns. And we haven't gotten their report yet, but I know they've talked with dozens of people to just say, well, how do you feel about Bloomington? How do you feel the racial issues are reflected? And how are we doing as a community to make sure everybody feels welcome? And this is much deeper, as you indicated, than the farmers market. The farmers market has a particular aspect to it. But, you know, Bloomington, we're a 200-year-old city, and for most of our history, we've been a formerly racist city. I mean, we had racist rules about schools and property and all kinds of things. And some of those legacies are still something we need to wrestle with. So I'm committed as a mayor to make sure that we dig into those issues and listen to each other about those issues, and they're helping us do that.
Yeah, so I was just trying to grasp exactly what was happening. So it sounds like they're interviewing a lot of different people, and then we'll put together a report that then the city can...
We'll share, we'll talk about, we'll see what we learn. This isn't the kind of issue that you issue a report and then say, here's the 7 steps that will fix this. It's a process, it's a conversation, it's a activity together, and I look forward to that.
The UDO is ongoing, as we've been saying for many, many months now, years, I guess. Huge talking point, of course, the use of plexes in core neighborhoods. Some residents worried a developer could come in, build a student complex, and others are saying it's more affordable housing, it's better for the environment. What's your take on the plexes in downtown and core neighborhoods on downtown Bloomington?
Yeah, the Unified Development Ordinance is basically the zoning code for the city, and it hadn't been replaced for about 15 years now, so we're doing a major effort. It's about a 450-page document to keep improving it. One issue that got a lot of attention right at the beginning was this question of, do we allow things besides a single-family home in certain areas of the city where some, including me, think we do need to explore duplexes, triplexes, and even fourplexes in certain places, in certain ways. And the consultants and the Plan Commission both recommended that we have a very structured and thoughtful way to allow that to happen. I fight hard every day for affordable housing. We have to have more housing in Bloomington, Indiana, to welcome the people who are here and who want to be here. Our city's going to continue to evolve. Change is difficult. Change is always going to challenge what we have now. I don't think, as I've said, the UDO is a three-ring binder, and we should be constantly reviewing it and anticipating it. While the council voted not to allow plexes, as we call them, in certain parts of the city, older neighborhoods, they did allow, for example, to loosen up the ordinance for accessory dwelling units, which are a kind of a disconnected plex. It's adding a dwelling unit in your backyard, for example, and we've allowed more of those and larger ones with the new UDO. So it's an ongoing process. I actually would have preferred if we allowed the plexes to go forward. I think it was a smart move. I think there was a compromise that was ready that didn't quite get done that could have said, let's start with 50 or 100 of them. Let's dip our toe in the water, see if it works. It won't dramatically change our city, but it'll start to let us see how we like it or not like it. And I'm hopeful that we'll continue to explore those options going forward.
And we're getting down there on time, but I just wanted to finish up with this public art going up on the side of the Graduate Hotel. I had to look back because there was an agreement with the developers, with the city. I think it was $350,000 for public art. So is that it?
No, that's not it, but it's part of it.
Okay.
It's exciting. I'm really pleased. We have a really up-and-coming artist, a wonderful Nina Abney, I think is her name, who's entered a competition that we and the Graduate Hotel working together did. She's a fantastic artist, a woman of color who's really rising in the art scene, and having her mural here in Bloomington is exciting. So check out the west side of the Graduate Hotel. And I do appreciate that when they came to town and I worked with them about that, they committed to do major public art. And this is a significant piece of that we're very excited about. So come down to Kirkwood and check it out.
So there should be more that goes with that.
Yep, that's
part of it. Or that agreement that was made with the city for public art in downtown.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Anything else that you'd like to announce, or that maybe that everyone should know about?
Well, one thing we also completed was the youth participatory budgeting, which was a group of young people who decided how to invest certain public money, and they had a great process. And look forward to seeing a moss wall, kind of another green and art project that's going to be done downtown. Well, we don't know exactly where yet, but it'll be interesting. And the young people of this city said that's what we think would enhance our community. So I'm excited about that. And looking forward to term two. We can talk about that next time, maybe what's coming up. Thanks, Joe.
Lots going on.